And I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2 in a minute. If you got your Bibles, you can perhaps turn there. But some of the time we kind of look and think only in terms of our own, and it's right, it's good that we do this, that Jesus just died for my sin, and that's as far as we look, that's as far as we take it. And we focus in on ourselves, and we look at ourselves, and yes, that's true. And yes, it's true, Jesus died for the forgiveness of my sins. And yes, and yes, and yes, that's absolutely 100% true. But that's not all that today's about. And if we stop there on Good Friday, if we stop there at the crucifixion, we have missed a huge part of what the crucifixion was all about, what Jesus going to the cross was all about. See, in the light of what Peter had to turn around and say there, and what Peter... And I tell you what, if it was just the Romans, if it was just the Jewish leaders, if it was just the people who were all through Jesus' ministry and life had been against him and hassled him and just done things to get at him, I guess you could kind of look at what I'm about to read and you could kind of go, yeah, okay, but it was just them. But I tell you, it wasn't just them. It was Peter. It was Jesus' closest friend who turned around and abandoned him and denied him when he went to the cross. His closest friend turned his back on him when he needed him most. Now, just in light of that, let's read from Philippians chapter 2. It says this. Each of you, starting at verse 4, it says, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Nice thing to say, Paul. Nice sentiment. But why should I do that? Nobody looks to my interest. Nobody's looking out for me. Nobody's interested in me. Nobody's interested in what I'm doing. Why should I look out for anyone else's interest? And if he stopped there and that was all he said, I could just push it aside. I could just go on with my life and just think, nice thing to say, Paul, but hey, don't really, you know, not going to really impact me. Until I come to Good Friday, until I come to this next bit, and it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And I stop there. I stop right there. Because of what Peter talked about there. Because of what happened on this day nearly 2,000 years ago. And he goes on to say this, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God. Gotcha. Philippians 2. A.V. says this, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And even to that point, that's amazing. God became man. That's incredible. You know, the whole Christmas thing, Jesus born in a stable. That's astounding that God, but what's that really got to do with me? Where does that intersect with my life? And where does that have anything to do with what Paul had to say when he says, look not only to my own interests, because God became man. Wonderful. So I come to the next bit. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And I tell you what, it's at that point all my excuses just melt away. When I say, Jesus, this look to the interests of others, this humble myself, this all this other thing, how far do I have to take that, Jesus? How far are you expecting me to go with that? How much are you expecting that to impact on my life? And then I come to Good Friday. And Jesus made a few statements when he was here on earth. He said some things like this. I could bring them up. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Fantastic thing to say. And then he goes on to, whoops, just going to move for me. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And then he goes on, if he said, anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Most famous sermon he ever preached and wonderful words. But Jesus, what's that got to do with me? You know, just nice teachings and nice sayings from a good prophet and a good teacher and a just wonderful. But why should I go with someone 2 miles when they're forcing me to go 1 mile? Why should I persecute? Why should I pray for those who persecute? Why should I forgive? Why should I be merciful? Why should any of that be define me and define my life? Why should that be Jesus? And I can kind of dismiss it until I come to Paul and he says, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, when Jesus came to that point and everything he said before him was still hanging in the air and was still fresh in the ears of the guys and all of that, and Peter had denied him and everything like that, Jesus then went to the cross. And they tell me when you're under pressure, when you're under the greatest pressure in your life, the real you comes out. The real you is just shown for everybody to see. When you're under the greatest pressure, you've probably been under a bit of pressure at times in your life. And some of the things, if you're like me, some of the things that come out, you're not proud of. You kind of go, oh, man. And then Jesus was under the real pressure and things like that. He'd said stuff like that. He'd told his guys stuff like that. He'd said to them, listen, this is how I want you to behave. Now Jesus is under the most extreme pressure you could ever imagine. How did he respond? Luke tells us this. To all of those that were around him and everything, he looked down, they'd spat on him, they'd beaten him. That hung him naked on a cross and shamed him and exposed him to the most shameful thing you could imagine. The most acute embarrassment possible in that day and age. The most belittling thing. I mean, it's one thing to line someone up in a corner and belittle them and make fun of them and mock them. That's one thing. But to take them out and publicly belittle them in the most humiliating way possible, that's what they did to Jesus. Under the most extreme pressure. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Under the most extreme pressure. Then he looks down and he sees his mum. He sees his mum. Watching her son hanging on a cross, her boy that she brought up and she knew he was God and she knew he was divine and the Son of God and all that. But I think somewhere in her, he was still her boy. Jesus looked down and instead of looking to his own interests, this is what he said. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, that's John who wrote this, standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here's your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. See, under the most extreme pressure, Jesus cared about his mum. No mum should have to see this. No mum should have to go through this. No mother should ever have to have this. John, can you look after her? John, can you take care of her? John, I can't do it. I'm doing the most incredible thing. All of history. All of history is coming together in this one moment. John, can you look after my mum? I could dismiss it except for this. And then he goes on to say this. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. We kind of get the G-rated version of that. Well, the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Two men on either side responding to what life has thrown at them, and one of them curses God and blames him for everything that's gone wrong in his life and for where he finds himself right now. The other one recognizes exactly what's gone on, but in his dying moments cries out to God and says, Jesus, will you remember me? When you come into your kingdom, please remember me. And Jesus, looking not only to his own interests but also to the interests of others, said this, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. See, when Jesus was under the most extreme pressure, what he said and what came out of him and everything was divine. It was divine to the point where a centurion, a Roman centurion, standing there. And I don't know if this man ever became a follower of Christ. We don't know that. But here's what he recognized. Here's what the most heathen of heathens recognized. And he turned around and he said, when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Saw something divine. Says, this is just not ordinary. He's something other. He's something other. And Paul takes all of that that's going on this day that we commemorate and what we're pondering through and what we admire and everything like this. And he turns around and he says, listen. Christians, followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, everything he said came out of him when he was under the most extreme pressure. What comes out of you when you're under the most extreme pressure? Everything that he said and did for us to do when he was in the most extreme of circumstances, that is exactly what he said and exactly what he did. And he turned to his disciples and he said, listen, I want you to go and do this. Paul turns around and writes to Christians throughout the ages and he turns around and he says, I want you to do exactly what he did. And that's it. That's where it sits. Yes, we have forgiveness of sin. Yes, we can have our sins. And yes, and yes, and yes, all of that. But it doesn't end there. It goes on to turn around and say, how is this going to impact your attitude and my attitude? If I am a follower of Christ, if I have had my sins forgiven, I have no excuse. Because every excuse that I could come up with melted in front of Jesus on the cross. See, it's easy for us to make a point. It's easy for us to get a hold of people that we disagree with. It's easy for people who do stuff against us. It's easy for us to make a point. And under that pressure, what's inside of us, and sometimes what's inside, I'm not proud of. Especially when I look at him. But he turns around and he says, it's not about making a point. I want you to go out there and make a difference in this world. And that's not easy. Because it means doing things like going the extra mile and forgiving those who hate you and persecute you. And it's about blessing those who curse you. And it's about all of that, because that's exactly what he did. This morning we're going to gather around the communion table, and I wanted to finish with communion this morning for a very particular reason. Because when Jesus wanted his guys to get it and get all of this and get what was about to happen, he didn't sit them down and give them a wonderful sermon and perhaps I could learn a lesson from that, but he didn't just sit down and say, okay, here's point, you know, to get this theology down and da-dun, 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 da-dun. He gave them a meal. And he did the most unusual thing in that day. He served the meal himself. He did things like washing their feet. He did that stuff. But he brought it all together in a meal. And in the meal, he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. You don't get it now, but in about 12 hours' time, you will get it like you wouldn't believe." He said, "This cup, this is my blood shed for you. You don't get it now. This is the blood of the new covenant. But in about 12 hours' time, you just unmistakably are going to get it." And when he wanted his disciples to understand, he served them a meal. And this morning, we're gonna get a hold of this table. Could I have the table brought over? And we're going to, as Karina comes and sings, just going to ask that you can sit, you can stand, whatever you like. It's up to you. But to take the cup and the bread and let that ring in your ears that everything that Jesus said, that's exactly what came out of him when he hung on that cross. And he died to take away my sins, yes. But there was so much richer. It was so much richer than just that, because if it's just that, I can live the most selfish of lives you can imagine. And the death of Jesus on the cross pulls me out to turn around and say, if there's anything that I need to do, I need to have the attitude, the same attitude of that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross.